Okay, and we're back with Queen of Embers, the actual episodes. 7 and 8 this time. And 8 for real.
Yeah.
Mike reminded me that we were off by 2 episodes last
time. Yeah,
got confused.
That happens. So, I'm your host, Game Master Daniel Fox. We're joined here by the gang, the cult, the playtesters, the people who made Zweihänder Main Gash real. Nick is back!
Yeah.
He's a dad, which is super cool.
baby.
So
finally getting a break.
Luck. Good luck with that. That's right. We were just talking earlier about being. I'm a dad, so the whole going through that first month adjusting to new schedule and stuff is always fun.
All that liquid poop.
Yeah, a lot of that. I didn't change diapers for the first 8 months. I got lucky. Allie did because I'd puke. I get sick. Yeah.
I think we can, table this for later.
I said, this is what we want to record.
That's right. Hey, this is all live, man. We're just ripping.
Yeah.
Nick is back, which is great. He plays Warren Rhodes, who's a camp follower. So, once again, we're joined by Kay. Kay joined our game permanently as of 2 sessions ago. Walter, unfortunately, is still out. That's okay. The show must go on, so to speak. And we are actually in Chapter 2 of Queen of Embers. So, what I'd like to do, just to kind of acquaint Nick with all the character names and professions, because you've been gone for 4 episodes. We'll start on the table first with Adam and talk about character name and profession.
Okay, my name is Terwin Forrester, and I am a man at arms.
Terwin, give me an initiative roll.
Ooh. Look at that. We will...
Do it individually.
7 plus 8 is 15.
15, okay. And then we'll go to Tim. Tim, what's your character name?
Banneker Steeples the Second. I am a highwayman. And 19.
Okay. And then we'll go to Kay.
Agent Elise Marius. And I am a provocateur. And I'm a 19 initiative.
Okay. Between Banneker and Eliza, what's your perception bonuses?
7.
Perception is 7 or 6.
Okay, cool. So we'll better go first. And Nick?
My name is apparently Warren Rhodes. And my initiative tonight is 14.
Okay. And then finally, last but not least, Mike?
I am Harper Clavager, and I am a Dragoon. And that's an 18.
Nice. Okay.
So, 10.
Yeah. So, a lot has happened in the past 4 episodes, so maybe we should start first to bring Nick up to speed. The Knight of Penumbra from the alleyway. He was stricken with some strange phenomena where he could not remember his name. Something very weird happened in the alleyway. The wind blew through, extinguishing all torches. Things grew dark, save for the burning blue star of the Leviathan's eye. That's where Nick was last, where Warren Rhodes was last. So what happened after that, Adam?
No, he actually made it to the...
I don't think so, no.
What was the last thing you remember? Let's just put it there.
Oh, you're right. Maybe you didn't.
Yeah.
We made it to the orphanage, and we had a dust-up with some, apparently, people who worked there. We didn't actually... And then we ended up following them down the street and catching someone. It gets kind of fuzzy.
Yeah.
Okay, so Terwin had some choice words with the ringleader at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And guy fell on Terwin's sword. And so...
accidents happen.
Yeah, they do. So then we went after the rest of them because they had children too. We wanted to go save the children. We jumped aboard their vessel as they were leaving on the river and got into a scuffle there, and we came across a Pictish man named Druce, who was leading the slavers. And we attempted to set fire to the boat to encourage them to... pulled the boat to the side.
Never would that happen.
Pull over.
And they weren't having none of it, and that fire was actually really close to some drugged out children.
Kids in a crate.
Yeah. So
kids and
you know, our
too many cooks.
Our hero Banneker saved the children from the fire.
I did, and I started the fire.
Hero.
Random combustion.
It was an accident.
Man of the little men.
I picked it up and smashed it.
Meanwhile, Terwin and Alistair got hurt real bad by guns. Guns hurt people, apparently.
Alistair had to spend a fate point.
Yeah.
Oof.
Bullets, really.
And then, as for Terwin.
Yeah, Terwin, he got a detached ear. And he's still having trouble hearing until he takes his tincture. We were able to defeat them, except for one of the gang members who apparently could not fail at anything.
Could not.
Horse taker. After the nemesis system.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
And then Druce also made an escape.
Because it was like 4-on-1. This guy was holding us all
And off. They were all on the boat as it was going down the Bastards River. This is the important thing to remember.
Right. Okay. With Mike riding a... Oh, sorry.
And I was on a horse, yes.
Yeah, the horse was on the boat too.
Yeah, Matthew was a part of the fight. He did knock
Sweet.
Slaver off the boat.
He suffered an injury.
He did. He got a bruised bone.
Or horse.
Yeah.
That was taken care of.
Mm-hmm. So, we were able to defeat them. And, Banneker, is it you who ran the ship?
Yes.
I mean,
everybody else was basically dead at that point.
Our hero, man. He's the hero.
Yeah, he's the hero.
Save the kids. save the building and the wife. I mean, besides the ship on fire.
Without him, I don't know what we would have done.
The ship came ashore on the silt, like underneath like this tavern that looks over the Bastards River, and it's kind of brought up on the sand, and then the sun rose, and then.
So we were confronted by Brigandine, not confronted in a bad way, but just like, hey, what's going on? And, oh, let's talk about this.
Anyone who's that Brigandine lieutenant's name?
I know it.
People, places, things?
No, I didn't write that one.
It's in your official character folio.
Proper name.
Lieutenant Reich.
Mr. Reich.
Reich.
So Lieutenant Reich talked to us in what we thought was going to be almost a fight. Was actually quite enjoyable. He broke bread with us, drank water with us, and all around we introduced ourselves, and there wasn't very much chest puffing at all, and so we were on our way. Then we went and sought treatment.
Yep.
And... at that point, we're going into some more episodes, but we went into the Cloakroom, which is the name of the tavern, and that's where we ran across Lisa. And Lisa is basically QA.
She's internal affairs at the Dufresne Agency.
So that made Terwin rather nervous. But also somewhat flattered because, hey, they're paying attention to some lowlifes like us.
How about we pick up the story here from Elisa's perspective? So okay. What happens?
Is it Elisa?
Elisa or Elisa?
Elisa.
It's an S. Elisa.
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 Okay.
So anyways, Elisa met them in the cloakroom, Banneker in particular, because he was the only one there because the rest of them had to go to Mender's. And get ears reattached and such. So when she met him, they knew who each other were because, well, she's a Marius. And after that point, the rest of them kind of followed in, and we ended up meeting up and discussing what had happened exactly in spontaneous combustion of naval vessels, because that happens. And they talked to me about the orphanage and the supposed drugged out person who was running the orphanage and
Mother
giving
Helen.
Up the children.
Mother Helen.
Yeah. You guys never gave me a name, so Mother Helen. So we ended up going to the doctor and charming him to find out what she had and where the alchemist was that they had spoken to, who's in Gralston?
Crawls yep. in, that's right.
Yeah, and the particular nun, orphanage runner, I'm not entirely sure what her title was, but mother, she had weevil's lung, is what we found out.
Right.
Which is tends to be treated by Black Lotus, but the particular thing that we saw was a liquid, apparently, or the particular mm-hmm. thing that was found was a liquid drug, not solid form, which is what Black Lotus is. And then we met with Rasputin Hexenstern, who is kind of
an Aloranite.
Sycophant to the Baroness.
He's a dirty Aloranite.
He is an Aloranite. And but he is in good with Baroness Dupree, and he told us that there's this smell that's been growing and is apparently the worst in Riverside. And he asked us to go check the source of this smell that's like a rotting corpse, sulfur, etc., that's been spreading all over the town.
So yeah, so we kind of concluded at the end of the conversation with Master Rasputin Hexenstern, who clearly is like very close to the Baroness. And in fact, if you recall the story Amadeus Chandler had told you, there are a group of people who had foiled the assassination attempt upon her 3 years ago, one of which includes Hexenstern. And also, as you found out from Lieutenant Wright, was also Amadeus. That's why he was is a Bellguard, is his true title in the city.
So what became of the job?
It was completed. All the lamps were lit, but clearly there was something larger afoot in mm-hmm. that Amadeus Chandler was more than just a mere lamplight.
Right. He was a Bellguard.
Bellguard, right. Yeah.
Which is what everyone that basically survived who helped the Baroness during the attack. Anyone who's right. To the lowliest person to the highest person, they've all gotten this. This is a specialty rank.
So would that technically mean Hexenstern has it?
Yeah, would technically mean he wasn't
a guard.
He is considered to be the court astrologer.
Right. He doesn't get the bell.
No, he's a master. Okay. He's the court astrologer and a
Banneker does not trust this man.
Right.
How can you predict somebody's murder if you're not involved as far as he's
concerned? He spoke a little bit too, a little deeper about like the relationship between him and the Dufresne Agency. Specifically, one of the agency's founders, Alexei, right, if you remember him, and Hexenstern attended the same seminary, both being Iloranites, and their focus was on occult activities. And as you know, Alexei within the Dufresne Agency is focused on occult activities.
Right.
And he is the one who sent you here.
Yep.
So the plot is thickening. There's clearly something else afoot. And when you awake, and when you're that next day after Penumbra, the day after, keep in mind, we're in episode 7 and 8, but this takes place over the last 12 hours. The sun has risen and set. You awaken that evening and you have your conversation with Master Hexenstern. And then you're joined by Warren Rhodes, who was seemingly a bit out of sorts. Your mind is kind of coming back into focus. Really, the passage of the past 12 hours has been a little strange. You're kind of getting accustomed, like, yeah, my name is Warren Rhodes. Like, you don't know what struck you, but something very strange has kind of changed you, and you're not sure what it is quite yet. But your memory is hazy, so you can use that obviously as a crutch for the role play
sure.
as we move forward. You conclude your conversation with the Hexenstern, and you are joined by Warren Rhodes. And because Elisa knows you, Warren Rhodes, what does Warren look like? Like, describe for us what Warren would look like to an onlooker here in this little tavern called the Cloakroom.
Warren Rhodes is a Grawlstetter. He's 5'10", kind of a normal build with black hair and green eyes. His distinguishing marks are a Glasgow grin and a rash of pimples. It's kind of a pineapple face.
There's a Glasgow grin in like every Spy Hunter game. I swear to God.
Like, random roll.
Random roll.
I don't know what that number is, but it is obviously the most rolled. Yeah.
What was the guy you said? The guy from Braveheart.
Braveheart.
Yeah. The guy from Braveheart.
Yeah.
Because he's got the pox face and everything. Right. And it's nearly perfect.
That's right. So he is a Grawlstetter. What you would know of this, Elisa, is that the Grawlstetters are immigrants from the war who have relocated here. The Baroness has brought them in to the city, into Durendal, the city itself.
How kind.
So he is one of many immigrants who have come here, but he is also a member of the Dufresne Agency. So we kind of pick up where we left off, where you would just, you had had your meal, you had gotten a good night's sleep. But the smell in the city, like, it's nightfall, and remember, it's toward the latter part of autumn where it's just starting to get really cold. That smell in it lingers everywhere in the city, even inside here, despite the fact that the owner of the cloakroom is burning incense and the smells of the food in the back kind of waft through this place. That tinge of sulfur and something else, like, even kind of seems to seep beneath the door, the cracks of the wood, underneath the windowsill, or through the windows, beyond the door's threshold. Like, the smell just lingers, and it's inescapable. Like, it's always just kind of there. You don't imagine, like, if you've been to, like, the West Bottoms, like, there's always a kind of a strange smell. Imagine that strange smell, but the smell is, you can't really identify what it is. You're not sure what it is at all. It's just something really, really strange. And the whole city has been complaining about it for the past 12 hours.
Well, it's Proc Cameron for the West Bottoms, but
yeah.
It's P&G, right?
So you awaken and have your food, and you've spoken with Master Hexenstern, and you kind of ramp up the conversation as he says that, you know, he usually can be found here at the cloakroom in the evenings. And he said, you know, if you want to ensure that I'm here when you come, he said, simply consult. He said that providing there isn't some astrological event of significance happening that evening, he'll more than likely be here.
Right.
And he said, if you're confused, simply consult your holy Libra and refer to chapter layers, zodiac 1-13, to understand the schedule. Consult your holy books. So this all happens, but we actually forgot about one part of what happened last week, too. Remember, there were a gang of stevedores who were dragging a person through the street.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So, from Harper, what happened? Week.
So, well, all right. So we hear a bit of a ruckus outside, and we're like, okay, well, let's go take a look. Why not? And so there are these stevedores who are dragging a body through the streets. And so we're like, well, what the hell's going on here? And so we take a look at the guy, and it looks like Drust from the ship, because he had jumped overboard in order to escape, because he had only the one man left between him and us. And, well, he knew that if we got to him, he was a dead man. So he jumped off before we crashed gracefully. I mean, parked gracefully, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, we landed. And
came ashore.
Yeah, came ashore. And, so at first glance, we're like, oh, well, that's great. You know, we'll go to the, we'll go to the Brigandine with you. We'll verify that this is the guy, because we saw him, less than 24 hours ago. And then, so we were talking to him, and I can't remember who it was that kind of maybe took a little bit better of a glance at him.
It was Tarwin.
The guy was a bit pudgier than we imagined, a little bit bloated. The story didn't quite add up. He had been brained or was dead or was found on hidden in the bottom of a boat. It was a very odd story. And so Tarwin and Elisa decided to kind of confront these guys. And And so before things got bad, Harper stepped in and was like, we'll take care of the body for you. Don't worry about it. Just leave. You know you're getting caught. If you go to the Brigandine, they're going to throw you in jail. You should just leave. It's the best thing for you. And so they do. But they kind of take it a bit like we ruined their fun. So they're like, well, it's just a Grawlstetter. Who cares about those guys? We just fished him out. He was already dead. I mean, it took a little work and effort to paint him up and make him look like this guy. So they were actually trying to see if we could give him money. We're like, well, you can just get out of here without getting thrown into jail. How about that? so they left. We called the men that would take care of the body and had to make sure to take him back to the Grawl Center so that way he could be buried amongst his people.
The body takers of the body city. Takers. A new profession, actually, in Queen of Embers.
Yeah. Another thing we also noticed was a certain corpse hanging from, the lady.
The mother.
The sister had been found, tried, and hung.
In less than sun up to sundown.
Right. It was very quick.
Yeah, process. So we couldn't question her or anything.
Yeah, it was. But
a lot has happened in the past 24 hours, well, 48 hours since you've been in the city. A little over, almost a day.
The people were very riotous about her, too.
They were. They were throwing eggs and turnips at the watchtower.
Right.
They had painted child killer on the flanking wall outside the watch brigandine station. And coming off of Penumbra, the people are still fairly nervous. In fact, even though the moon, or the mirror as it's called, is now beginning to wax, you know, it's beginning to kind of come into focus, the constellation of the lyre still lingers, of course. The remnants of the blood moon and the burning blue star of the Leviathan's eye cast its strange pale blue light over the city. The smell continues to linger. The body takers come with a hand cart and roll away the corpse and take it to wherever they would do with indigence. Perhaps they'll take it back to Grawlstead. Perhaps they'll dump it outside the city. You don't really know. Dorindal kind of has its own way. It's a very large city, and you don't really know the inner workings of its public works or its guilds as of yet. But it's clear you're going to be here for quite some time. That the Frayne Agency has a vested interest in Dorindal, and specifically that relationship, getting closer to the Baroness, as Elisa had mentioned, is the mission. So.
Sure.
Ingratiate ourselves.
Sure.
We start at a little after nightfall.
Is it just me? Oh, them low nights make it a little bit queasy. Stomach.
I never really liked those folk. They always seemed a bit off to me.
You know, as he spoke heresy several times, and, you know, a matter of speaking to Lessus.
Doesn't bother me.
No, that it bothered me, but I figure probably not best to be correcting a man of that station, being my station.
Yeah.
Correct.
And from what little I do know of them, I mean, they just mainly say, well, you don't know, you couldn't possibly understand, and then only explain half of it, and then tell you that's why you, and then tell you, see, you don't understand, and you try and tell them, you only explained half of it, and they,
it's very circular logic, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
To be honest, to try to help him doesn't really matter what his thoughts are on things, does it?
No, I just want his money.
Well... That's obviously not tainted by what he thinks, is it?
No.
So, what's the plan, boss?
Well, looks like we've got ourselves a smell to investigate. Seeing as how it's nighttime, was we supposed to go at night or day?
I don't think it right matters.
No. Might be important to point out it's getting worse, but as time goes by.
I mean, there'd be less people out now. That'd be easier.
Don't
going by smell, ain't like we gotta have sight.
Well.
You gotta see, though, in order to keep from stepping in a hole. Or stepping off a ledge, taking a swim.
And torches might not be the best thing if that smell happens to have some kind of reaction to fire.
Oh?
I don't know. I mean, if we're going underground and it's concentrated, we have to use something to be able to see, yes?
Well, yeah, you use a torch.
Right. And if torches hit things that are combustible, such as boats, We've seen what the results are.
It was actually a lamp.
Oh, well, that's lovely.
Wait, so a torch is going to bust a boat?
No, I think what she means is, you know,
You can light alcohol on fire?
What do they dig below us? Pig iron and what? What is Dorindal for?
Oh, copper.
No.
Are you talking about that gas?
That's the mole. Isn't that the mole?
But the other elements are here. Yeah. You understand that? Those are combustible elements, I think is what she's trying to say.
They're things that can catch fire easily and make explosions.
Like alcohol or lamp oil.
No.
And I would prefer not to take a possible source of fire into that.
So you think they's doing stuff with pyre shot and witch fire down there?
Could be. I don't know.
We don't know anything.
Well, if we're going underground, which difference does it make?
If it's day and night.
Right.
Are you all right, though, boss?
I'm fine.
His ear's sewn on and bandaged up.
I'm fine. I just don't know why busting boats and all that has got anything to do with it. But, I mean, I understand, you know, you don't want to take a torch near something that'll light up like, you know. Right.
Like pyre shot.
Like pyre shot, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The air doesn't light on fire.
But, you know what? We'll just agree to disagree on this one.
I've never seen it happen.
Oh, well, right. That's...
So,
I'm just staring at them like...
So, how tired is he?
I'm bright as a babe.
We did sleep most of the morning.
I don't have a half sold off ear, so I, you know, if you're ready to go, boss, I mean
it ain't gonna be like Penumbra. I don't think we're gonna have as much problems out there.
It's in the title, boss. Just, you know, we go now. We go in the morning, boss.
I was just checking to see
if
any of your lot was tired, because if you was, I want you falling asleep on me. So if you're fine, we can go.
All right.
Gathering yourselves from the cloakroom, you head outside. Take Matthew from the stables, and you strike out from Bisaya Square. The night is cold. A few merchants have returned back to Bisaya Square now that the number is over. There's a night market. There are a few lamps kind of glowering in the darkness. There's some trade to be made at this time. It's actually not uncommon to find that markets at this time of night would be open anyhow, because a lot of the ships that come on the Bastards River come in, oftentimes travel from further down river and come to Dorindal and make it at this time, so they kind of pass in and pass out. The city. There's some fishmongers, others who would sell lampreys, turtles, other river things, some finished goods from further downriver, but nothing that would certainly pique your interest or catch your eye. I will say, though, that at night, as it is now, you do have starlight to see by. It's not easy light. There's a lot of long, fleeting shadows. There's a lot of flash of lanterns. There's a lot of flash of lanterns, but it is not easy to walk through the streets at night without some sort of life. And you can certainly do so.
That reminds me. If they got any, I'll look for some lamp oil.
You can acquire lamp oil for whatever the price is in the book. Yeah.
Okay.
Is there a price for perfume?
There is, but
or
you wouldn't find
a nosegay or something like that. There's an herbalist, right?
What's it? I'm sorry.
Like some kind of herbalist or something.
There wouldn't be an apothecary who'd be open at this time of night. No.
Plus, the only apothecary we know is the Crawl Center one.
Yeah, it's just somebody might have flowers or something. Possibly. Just looking for something to shield the smell.
nothing of that sort here in this market. Okay. It is mostly like people who've come in late at night to make trade and plan to leave in the morning.
Okay.
There's a number of hostlers who are kind of moving goods beneath the pall of night.
So is this is this some sort of like animal dung type of smell or something like chemically?
That's a great question. Well, it smells a little bit like sulfur.
Okay.
But something else too you can't quite put your finger on. Mm. And it lingers everywhere in the air. And it's not something you can identify distinctly the source of. But surely it's stronger in some parts of the city.
Yeah. From mucking all them stables for as many years as I've known Matthew, I can definitely tell you, that ain't shit.
Oh, let me tell you, I grew up on a rural area farm, that sort of thing. I know the smell.
Oh, you got that goat. I reckon you do.
It ain't no latrine.
Mm-mm.
Right, so we agree.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad we've negated shit as a potential. That's
lovely. See?
Well,
we got things done. You should put that in your book.
Right, so we can lay that rumor to rest.
Yeah.
Funny that you assume my book should mostly be about yourself.
Oh, no, not me. I mean...
Oh, how lovely.
Yeah.
She proceeds to not write anything.
Well, who's going to hold the light?
Well, I got my lamp. And I got a high horse.
Very well.
You mount up, you hold the lamp, and you move between within from Visayas Square and begin to head toward a place that Hexenstern had called Riverside. It doesn't take too long to get there. In fact, Riverside is not too far from here. You can see that there's kind of a rivulet that kind of breaks off from the Bastards River further into the city. And at night, even now, you can hear the mewing and baying of animals as you enter this district, this number of slaughterhouses that literally kind of ring the edge of this long, twisting mud and clapboard road. There's a great number of slaughterhouses, including animals kept in tightly fenced together. This place clearly is where slaughtermen and tanners and dyers and farriers of night soil, what we would call dung, would call home. In fact, the smell here smells very much like what you would describe before. Kind of the smell of wet hide and animals, but the sting of pollution and spent gunpowder also lingers in the air. And as you enter this district, you realize that the smell is really overwhelming here. Like, it's clear, whatever that smell is coming from this area somewhere. In fact, it's so bad that you can feel your eyes sting. Imagine, like, pollution on a really bad day. Like, a really bad day, you know, in, like, say, I don't know, L.A. Imagine being downtown with all that pollution and exhaust and kind of captured between the buildings and low gray air that lingers over everything. The stars are hidden behind beyond sight. The moon is like a distant kind of pale orb. The smell is horrendous, and it's not just the slaughterhouses, it's something else.
Is it a low-hanging fog?
It is, yes. You also note that, obviously, these slaughterhouses kind of ring the side of this long boardwalk along this rivulet, that the water is particularly dark, and you can see like a greasy film that kind of is on top of it, likely slough off. Mm-hmm. From the slaughterhouses. I mean, the place smells bad. Mm-hmm. Not of animals, not of rancid animals by any means, but like the smell of wet hides and soot in some cases. But you can literally taste the sting of pollution and taste the sting of spent gunpowder on your lips, on your tongue.
I'll look around to see, you know, if there are many people around.
Well, the place where people seem to gather in Riverside is a place you is denoted by a kind of large sign that kind of frames this open plaza. And I will note that what you're beginning to learn in Durendal is that these areas of the city seem to kind of center around these plazas or these kind of like main arteries, the heart essentially of what all commerce happens here. And there's an old kind of like painted sign that simply says Founders Square. What's particularly interesting about Founders Square is that you're leaving the slaughterhouses near the river behind. You're no longer near the river, but instead you're surrounded by these high, tall stone buildings that are literally choking the air with smoke. So you can see great burning fires from within these kind of vaulted thresholds with no doors in them. Like artificiers and blacksmiths and other manner of industrial goods are made here. And day and night, it clearly seems to be busy, as you can see charcoal burners returning from the wilderness, bringing in piles of gray ash that will be turned into charcoal. There are also other folk kind of buzzing about, tanners, miners, tired people, very tired people. And most who are here have some manner of gauze over their face or are covered in soot. They all look like they're from around here, though. Just a mishmash of people who kind of keep to themselves as they move within Founders Square, with some of their own sources of light, others without their own sources of light.
All right. Here's what we're going to do.
Good.
Everybody smells it, right? It's not like it's a mystery to anyone. So, seeing as how we're here in this square, and there's people about, just walk up to some people and be like, hey, how you doing? You know, make a little bit of small talk. And then, be like, is that smell always here? You know, where do you think it's from? Just kind of feel them out a little bit. And, you know, I could even say like, oh, here it's from the abattoir. Or, oh, no. I heard it's coming from the sewers. Whatnot. Right. Just so we can get an idea of what people have been saying. You know, the rumor.
All right.
To bring Banneker up to speed, you've basically come to Riverside, which is essentially, ostensibly, a boulevard off of the Bastards River, where a number of slaughterhouses essentially feed the slough off of animals into the river. But moving deeper,
so it smells wonderful anyway.
Yeah, the smell of, you know, like wet hides of animals and like something lingering in the air. Even soot seems to kind of linger. In fact, the air hangs so low here, you can't even see the stars. You can your tongue, the taste on your tongue, your nostrils are like assaulted with the smell of pollution and spent gunpowder. And as they begin to move into this kind of open plaza called Founders Square, you realize that there's all these huge burning fires like inside these stone buildings. Like there's clearly some sort of like manner of manufactory happening here. You can see that there are fairies of charcoal and miners and other people kind of moving this way and that, even at this time of night. And the stars are completely, they can't see them at all beyond the low pall of air that lingers over all of here. This place smells horrid. And it's stinging your eyes, and it's making it hard to see, and it's kind of, you know, your throat burns a little bit as you come into here, and nonetheless.
Volunteers?
I can talk to folk.
People like me.
Yeah?
I'm well liked.
Even by the lower folk.
Especially by you.
Well, I know, I like you.
I'm at your station, boss.
Oh. All right. Well, you two have at it.
All right. Man of the people, follow your lead.
Oh, no, Papa, please. You go off on your own.
All right.
Let's divide and conquer, as the king likes to say.
I'm going to attempt to just eavesdrop.
Just kind of listen in the conversation.
To everyone around you.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm going to mosey up to the bar and get myself a drink.
So you want to find the local tavern, local watering hole?
Yeah, is that? Okay. I have to figure that's where a lot of people would be.
Yeah. What about yourself, Warren?
I'll go to the tavern as well.
Okay. As for yourself, Banneker?
What kind of trade is going on here? Slaughterhouse? So are they...
Well, the slaughterhouses were near the river, but this seems to be a place of, like, factories and industry.
So it's more industry.
Mm-hmm. Mostly people are kind of buzzing about their duties. You can see kind of farriers kind of bringing, you know, wheelbarrows full of charcoal. Others kind of just committing to backbreaking labor. Other like horses kind of drawing sleds behind them. There's not really much to be said in matter of trade here or, quote, shops. It appears to just be where things are made.
I'm going to look for somebody who's telling other people what to do. What to do. The master.
Love it. Okay. What about yourself, Terwin?
I'm going to kind of follow along just in the areas that he goes to and not really get in the way. And then if like something comes up to where I could help, I'll jump in.
Okay. Well, so we're going to have Elisa go ahead and make a it's a secret test for eavesdrop. So just treat it like it's a standard test and let me know your chances of success.
So I do have Shaken Not Stirred.
Which allows you to?
If I fail a charm or eavesdrop test, I may reroll to generate a better result. Okay. But I rolled a 49 against my four. Is it for eavesdrop?
Perception.
What a perception. 42.
Would you like to keep that 44 or reroll?
It was 49. But, 49. Yeah, I'd like to reroll, I think.
Okay.
All right. Your chance is better.
49.
So, this is a 49 then.
It's a 49.
What's your chance of success again?
I have a 42 perception. Oh, 52, because eavesdrop.
Yeah, because it's draining. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you were just kind of listening in to the hubbub of people here. You kind of. A lot of people are complaining about this thing called the Reek. The Reek happened almost a night ago. The Reek is just everywhere in the city. Where is the Reek coming from? It smells like it's coming from here, but we're not really sure. Mm-hmm. This is kind of passing conversations between, you know, people. Oftentimes, as people kind of talk about the weather, making small talk.
Right.
A lot of small talk is around the Reek. Mm-hmm. They don't talk about the fact that it's getting colder and it's coming toward winter. They don't talk about the Baroness or anything else. They just simply talk about the Reek. So, in the case of both Warren and Harper, you find yourselves at this wine sink. You kind of almost follow some of the workers as shift change is clearly happening at some mm-hmm. point. And you follow them to this plate that's simply called the Gut Bucket. You see this kind of defunct stone hurler that is emblazoned with the Black Knights of Landon livery all over it. But this thing has been sitting here for years, and kind of erected beside it is this longhouse of sort that kind of twists almost like a crooked curve, a crooked U that surrounds the Gut Bucket. And there's a gathering of people who are sharing drinks and swapping stories inside, mostly tanners, slaughtermen, and artisans who are kind of, quote, getting off work or shift change of this. The place appears to be a bit, you know, but clearly, like, people who are hard workers.
Hmm. So, like, stevedores.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alright.
So you both walk into this place, and you hitch your horse outside on the post, and you come in, and there's a number of people. Ravanians, there's, you know, other locals. You don't really see any Gralstetters, Warren, or at least you can't hear their accents over the others.
Mm-hmm. I'll walk up to the bar and ask for what can I get that'll taste better than what this smells like out here. Or at least a little bit better. I don't know. It depends what you got. I'll take whatever you got.
Well, we'll find you something, the fella says. Its proprietor, who introduces himself as Ulysses Doubleday, appears to be a fairly jovial fellow. He's missing a few fingers that he ruminates that he lost in an accident in the factories. To continue to press upon this, to inquire with him inside, which he clearly knows a lot about what's going on in the city. He's an innkeep. He's the proprietor of the gut bucket. Mm-hmm. Who's going to lead the conversation between the two of you?
I'll let you lead the way first. See how things go. All
right. Well,
since you're not a girl sitter,
right? Well, kind of like this to me better. Yeah, we're new in town. I've smelled animals, but I ain't smelled anything like this. You reckon any ideas what this is?
Well, the reek is pretty bad. He says. Not much we can really do about it. It's just, the smell is just overwhelming.
Reek seems to be about a right name for it.
About when it came around?
Well, about the time that, about Penumbra. Sometime that morning. I remember...
Or whatever it is.
I just remember I was going outside and taking some of the slop out back to the pigs and thought I smelled something funny. I mean, you know, funny for Riverside, he says. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Some fellow was blaming somebody else, saying the Night Soil Collective was to blame. Others were saying, no, it's the saltpeter men. Everyone seems to be blaming everybody else for the smell.
Right.
And it's never come around this way like this, ever.
Not like this. I mean, sure, the place smells like death sometimes when we get a bad herd brought in, but... I mean,
I don't know much about cities, but you figure, you know, a smell like this people talking about, it would have happened in the past. They would, you know, happen again, they would have known what it was.
That's right. He pushes two cups of ale across the bar table. It's 3 brass pennies each.
Thank you.
Well, you're certainly welcome to stay here and drink. Have a good time, you know. Keep the rottiness down. We're good folk here. Hard workers. You looking to keep up Kip in the city?
Well, not sure right now. I mean, how long we're going to be staying, business-wise.
He takes a look at you and says, well, if you're looking someplace upright, I'd head to the cloakroom.
Back
at Visayas Square.
Or we might head that back way then. But, well, we're here. Might as well drink.
And you won't find... we have a common room, but... not really suitable accommodations. Not the accommodations I'm sure you'd be accustomed to. He was on to say.
Well, all right. Well, let's take a look around then.
You mosey on up to the bar and mosey around the inside of the gut bucket and continue just kind of, you know, chit chatting, getting to know some of the locals, getting just kind of talking to, chewing the fat of the locals. Mm-hmm. Do both of you have a skill rank in rumor?
I do.
Okay.
I do not.
Okay, Harper, you may make a test. This test is easy. Are you a burger?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. It's going to be routine in that case.
Check that. I'm pretty sure I am a burger. Yep. Okay. So routine rumor. That will be a 63. That is a 27 success.
Nice. Well, I'll tell you what. He says, you know anything, you being from out of town, I'm sure you know a little bit about the business of Durindal. We got a healthy trade here, he says.
Yeah?
Gong farmers, they call them. Night soil men.
Mm-hmm.
Collecting the shit and piss for the danners and the dyers and the tanners. There's a particular group of them who call themselves the Night Soil Collective. Yeah. They keep themselves outside of Riverside, just outside the city walls. You may want to go out and inquire with them. I know that they relax, he says, kind of laughing, in their duty on Penumbra. Maybe they just made a big old run across the city and the smell of shit's coming from that.
Well, it's a shit job, but someone's got to do it.
Yeah. You'll know them, though. The Knights will collect no mistake. There's huge dunghills outside the city. Molder and cesspits. Nasty. But you'll know them when you see them or smell them.
Well, that's probably true. Spend a little time in the stables, you'll know smell shit real easy.
That's right. Well, you continue talking to some locals at this time.
Sure.
Back where the two of you are, you have chosen to kind of find a local labor leader, so to speak. You will actually need to do a little bit more than just simply chewing the fat. You'll need to actually suss them out. So I'm going to have, in your case, Banneker, I'm going to have you make a folklore test. Do you have a skill rank in it? You don't need a skill rank, but do you? No. Terwin, do you?
No.
Okay. This is going to be a standard test for you, Banneker. You're an aristocrat, if I'm not mistaken. It actually doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're aristocrat. It's just a standard test.
Okay.
Yeah. Not knowing the inner workings of the guilds here in Durendal, but kind of understanding at least how it works in the rest of the world. You lean on that knowledge.
I have a 48% chance, and I got a 13.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, finding who these labor leaders are would not be that difficult, but you're actually drawn away from a conversation that you begin to kind of like rub elbows with the local fellow, and you can see that there's some kind of commotion going on near the middle of Founder Square. The two of you kind of walk over, kind of just kind of curiosity. And you can see that there is a barrel of gunpowder situated in the middle of a collection of people. And there is a man standing on top of it with a torch. And this fellow is preaching to passerbyers. And with him are a few others, partners, if you will, who are handing out pamphlets to people.
So he's standing on top of a barrel of gunpowder with a torch.
Mm-hmm. We have talked about this.
We just had this conversation with our own folks.
But this is about a galley, a collection of 13 or 14 looking
folks. And they're handing out a pamphlet?
They're handing out pamphlets, yes.
I'll approach and grab a pamphlet.
Okay. Welcome, brother, welcome. A man hands you the pamphlet, literally a broadsheet folded, and it says... And it said, on the front of it, it simply marked 13. You open this tract, and literally it says, join the 13, join the revolution. Rally behind the prophet as he liberates the workers from their ghastly working conditions and break the chains of the crown that binds us all.
Brother, what is this?
Wait, Samuel's about to speak.
And is he going to speak on top of a gun? Is that pyre that he's standing on?
He kind of clutching the pamphlets together. He kind of hushes you and is staring toward this man on top of the gunpowder. And he finishes his speech, and almost like this is kind of like rote for him. Like this man on top of the barrel of gunpowder says, join the 13, join the revolution, rally behind the prophet as he liberates the workers from their ghastly conditions and breaks the chains of the crown that binds us all. And the people kind of, some give a half-hearted kind of clap, others kind of wander away. But then you realize that the man kind of like, his eyes kind of widen. You can see that on his forehead, marked in perhaps oil and gunpowder, is a symbol, Roman numeral 13, across his forehead. And his eyes widen for a moment as he's got the torch. He literally drops it and hops off the barrel. And they begin wheeling the barrel away as you see a small patrol of brigandine kind of hustling toward the crowd. The crowd quickly disperses into the alleyway. But this person and the other two are kind of trailing behind him, well ahead of brigandine.
Should we follow him or leave?
What is that bloody mess?
Let's follow him.
You have attained a clue. Your first clue is the pamphlet. I don't think we have any cue cards over here.
Slack him, Daniel.
I know, right? Slack. Normally we would have them on the ready and we'd hand over an actual clue, but I don't have them on the ready, so...
That's why we can't have nice things.
Are they over here?
No, I don't believe they are, unfortunately. But, as you find this clue, we will stop momentarily.
Right.
Episode 7, and we'll pick back up here in just a few moments for Episode 8. Thank you all, and we'll see you here shortly.
See you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Next time.
Next time, next week.